As we, in our consideration here this evening, we continue on with this teachers, deacons, preachers, and pastors, the ministers of our Lord. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Last week, we took a look at Ephesians chapter 4, the gift of our Lord to His church, and what's indicated there and shown that the gift of the Lord to His churches is in the leadership that is there. And we saw in that chapter that the Lord gave, and let me just read those. He gave some apostles, which that was there with the first church all the way to the Apostle Paul, and some prophets, which we see indicated in the scriptures. They're in the book of Acts. There's prophets that are there. Agabus is one of those. And some evangelists, which we yet have today, brethren that go and preach, our missionaries are akin to that work, and then pastors and teachers, and we took a look at why that is the case, so we might grow up in our Lord, and then we might become mature. There's an order. The Lord takes from among the flock and calls to these different positions, these different elements of leadership and teaching, and pastoring and such as that. Today, we're left with evangelists, pastors, and teachers in the church. Also, deacons are amongst them, and so that's the reason that I've included them here in the listing. Teachers, deacons, preachers, and pastors, the ministers of our Lord. We don't have any apostles anymore. There are no more. We don't have any prophets. There is none that prophesies with a new revelation, a new word from God, or anything in particular that has to do with us, as we see there in the book of Acts. But we yet have pastors and teachers, deacons that are here. And so may we all learn and understand. And so, well, Brother Jim, I don't ever look to be a preacher or a pastor. You know, ladies would say that because you're not going to be a preacher or a pastor or a deacon. The thing is, you need to know. You need to know what the Lord says about it. Being members of the Lord's church, one day you might have to vote regarding the selecting of some. And so you would need to know what the Word of God says. Men that are qualified, that need to know about what the Lord says about being a teacher, a deacon, a preacher, or a pastor, that you might know. Maybe the Lord would call you. And so we need to know, or we may, again, be found in a place where you'd have to seek the Lord's face regarding such, and you need to know what the qualifications are, which we'll touch on in time. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we have the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth there in Greece has got several problems, as it is with people, with churches, because they're made out of people. People have problems, and churches have problems. It's just that way. This church has got some problems, and the apostle had ministered there for a year and a half, and he's got a connection to them. He was used of the Lord to minister to them, to be a witness to them, to call them, to save them, and that church being established. And so he's writing to them that they need. And so we look here in chapter 3. They've got this thing that they like to claim a man. Some are saying Apollos. Some are claiming the Apostle Paul. But he says it's not about the man. It's about the Lord that's given the increase. Every man called to the Lord needs to plant or needs to water, whatever the case is. But it's the Lord that is working. And so don't be carnal and follow after a man. We would love those that the Lord has used in our lives to bring, be a witness to us. The apostle is going to tell, as we consider another chapter in his two epistles here to the church at Corinth, that he talks about himself being their father in the faith, that he begat them, okay, through the word of the Lord. There are those that are near and dear to us that the Lord used to bring us the truth of his word, a witness of Christ, And you know, let the Lord use that instrumentality to they were near and dear to us. But the thing is we're not to follow them. We're to follow our Lord and thank the Lord for working using such a witness as that. He speaks in chapter 3 about building on the foundation, and we all, some brethren take this to just be towards ministers, but I take it that it's for all of us. We're building on a foundation, being saved, You are building on the foundation of Christ, and may we build in a right way. He says, don't defile the temple of the Lord in chapter 3. We, as the Lord's children, we this body is the temple of the Lord. He dwells within. We as his house are his temple also. And he says, the following of the Lord and being obedient to him, he says, he knows, verse number 20, he knows the thoughts of the wise, that they're empty. And so don't glory in men. He says, verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether it's Paul, Apollos, Peter, or Cephas, the world, life, death, present, things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. So may we keep the focus right. We venture into this chapter 4. That he's going to talk about the ministers of the Lord. And he's going to talk about that because that's his context. He's going to talk about that of apostles. Any man that would look to become a preacher of the Lord or a pastor of the Lord needs to look to the example of the apostles. And our brother lays that out here for this church at Corinth and for us to understand how it is with the men of God. There are those over time that I've seen, and maybe you have seen, that have thought that the pastors of the Lord are more like princes. And the thing is we're not princes. We are the ministers of the Lord. We are used of the Lord to carry the good word of God unto the Lord's people. And in the case of a pastor, as the man would follow the Lord to lead the church, and all of us follow the Lord together in the church. Sometimes it's been with those that they account themselves greater than they are. The Lord says, I think in a nutshell we can see, is that the minister of the Lord, that's whose heart is right and in pursuing the calling of the Lord, is going to be one that's going to be used up for the sake of the ministry. Take a look at the example of the apostles. As far as we know historically, none of them got out of this place alive. And they are the example. They are the example to the ministers of the Lord. So let's read here, see what our Lord has for us. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So we've got a dispensation. We've got a stewardship of the good word of God. God help me if I ever lie to you about what the Word of God says. I need to tell you the truth. I don't ever need to dabble as a man, as your pastor. I don't ever need to dabble in things that I don't know the will of God for you about. Some men will take up and they'll say, oh yeah, I know exactly what you should do in your personal life. Now listen, I know that if what you and I pursue in our personal lives goes against this Word, we shouldn't do it. If you would look to take up a job, for example, at a place that would be a place of wickedness or work of wickedness, of course I can tell you that the Lord doesn't want you to do have anything to do with that. A pastor should never be of one in a position, as I've heard, and with some that would tell the children of God in his churches to do something and follow after something that would be disobedient to the Word of God. It should never be. Got a stewardship here. The apostles had a stewardship, and those, the ministers of Christ, those that handle the Word of God, those that are in the leadership positions that remain, have a stewardship. Have a stewardship of the Word of God, and we are to first and foremost be true to that. May the Lord help us. I need your prayers in that. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful to the Lord. Faithful to the Lord. I love you, but my calling is to be obedient to the Lord for your, for mine. We need to be obedient to him, faithful in every way. But with me, he's speaking to this church at Corinth, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. That's what they're doing. They're saying, there's a contingent there in the church that's saying, he just doesn't have any standing here to be able to tell us what to do. That's their position. This man that writes unto us, who is he to tell us how we ought to operate and how we ought to behave? Well, in the case of our brother, indeed, he's an apostle of the Lord. He was sent to them of God in the first place. They do well to listen to him. Now, a man claiming such going on now, if I tell you what the Word of God says, then well do that we follow it. But to know as the apostle did, it's a different thing. He had revelation from the Lord. We have no apostles now, but we've got the Word of God. May we follow that. He says, it's a small thing for you to judge me. And remember those two aspects of judgment. The aspect of judgment that makes the call about whether one is obedient or not, and then the punishment for such. He said, for you to censure me, for you to look on at me and say that I'm not qualified to advise you, he said, that's a small thing. Listen to what he says. But with me is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment, for a man to judge me. They said, that's nothing. Yea, I judge not my own self. He said, I don't make a reckoning what I think about things. Listen to what it says. For I know nothing by myself, and it is true, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. He says, I get my directive from the Lord. It's the Spirit of God that's working in me to write unto you the truth that you need to stay by and stick with and to pursue. It's the Lord that's given the directive here. I don't even evaluate myself. He said, we don't answer to men, we answer to God. And so he says the Word of God and the calling of the Lord and the directive of the Lord is what's key, what's essential. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth to our Lord for our ministry. Now here in the church, we are accountable one to another. If any of us got caught up in public sin, we would be dealt with by the church. And so there is a determination made according to the Word of God about our error or our sin. And then there is that punishment that is meted out by the church only in removing one from the body. So that happens. But as far as being resisted by them, they have no call to do so because it's the Lord that has sent him and worked in him. We believe and know that the Scriptures are inspired, don't we? Our Lord inspired this man, this apostle, to write to this church. They do well that they listen, and so do we. He says this in verse number 5. It's somewhat connected to what's being written over in chapter 3. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, verse number 14 of chapter 3, he shall receive a reward. The trying of our works by fire. Whether we've built with gold, silver, precious stones, laid up treasure in heaven is the way the Lord, another way the Lord said it, or built with wood, hay, and stubble, and laid up treasure on the earth for ourselves. He says, our work is going to, the work that abides and how we've built, if it abides, we've built with that heavenly building material, we'll receive a reward. Verse number 5, he says, therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, verse 5 of chapter 4, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. He says, the Lord will reckon things out. Kind of like we saw this morning. I think he's challenging them. He says, if you're taking a position because of what you think or what society in Corinth and in Greece thinks, he said, you need to watch out where you're getting your basis and your source of information from. He says here, the Lord is going to reckon everything out. Another way that it's said in the Scriptures, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So they that are railing on the apostle, saying he has no standing, he has no position to come to them in this way, he says, beware, because you're going to give an account for your stand. And what is the basis of your stand? Is the basis of your stand from the Word of God, from a scriptural, from a information and word from the Lord, or is it just because of what you want? He said, the Lord's going to judge. The apostle, I think it's another way of the apostle saying, I'm being obedient. Are you? I'm being obedient.
I'm speaking to you these things given to me by the Lord. Are you being obedient and receiving them from the Lord? So he goes on here in verse number six. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. This about judging and them about wanting to censure them, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. He said, we're all accountable. I'm just as accountable as you are, and you are just as accountable as I am. Don't boast in a man. The Lord is going to judge us all. How are we following the Lord? He goes on here, he says, consider this. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? He says, consider, do you think that your station or your position gives you standing to be able to buck against the way of the Lord? What do you have that God didn't give you? That's the case for all of us. The apostle didn't submit application to become one. He was called of the Lord. Children of God saved were called by the Lord in salvation. Children of God called to be members of this church here in Corinth, were they not called of the Lord? Indeed. That's what we have, is what we've been given. For who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory in it, if you will, as if thou hast not received it, or you gained it yourself? Now, listen to this. He's going on to this point of the ministry of the apostles. Now ye are full. And see, that's kind of the problem. They've got blessing and prosperity in following the Lord and the blessing of the Lord upon them, I think spiritually, to some extent. And, of course, there's some among them that are yet carnal, he points out. But there are those there that are faithful in the church. But they've been blessed, I think, financially, too. The Lord has been good to them and given them sustenance to be there in Corinth and to remain. You remember how the first church there in Jerusalem, they had to take up a position and had to take up a tact of having all things common. And the reason that they did that is not because the Lord teaches a communal kind of living amongst his people, but they had to do that to support one another so they could remain there in Jerusalem and make it through the immediate persecution of their Jewish families turning them off, counting them dead. And that's the way one that would stand up and claim Christ in the day of our Lord, in the day of his resurrection, would be shunned by their families. They wouldn't be allowed to work. They wouldn't be able to have part in the family business. They would be cut off. And there were many that had received Christ that they needed help. There were those that were older that maybe couldn't provide for themselves, and they needed help. And so that's how that they did that for that time. Here, this church has been blessed too. The Gentiles, from which that many of them are, they're Gentiles themselves, would be cut off from society. But the Lord has blessed them. He says, now are ye full. Maybe you've taken the blessing, the financial blessing of the Lord, and you've let it go to your head. Now are ye full. Now are ye rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. What's that language talking about? They've had great blessing. They've had great prosperity as the Lord's people and the Lord's church. And listen to what the apostle says. I would to God that ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. He said, I'm glad for the Lord's provision in every way for you. Because, see, we understand that there are those in the church there at Corinth that have grown up spiritually, but there are some in the church that are still of a carnal mind and that. Is he talking about spiritual things, or is he talking about the things of life? Which is he talking about that? Which is he talking about there? He says, now ye are full. Now ye are rich. I think he's talking about those physical things of life. I think that's the greater. You have reigned as kings without us. Those that are there in the church of Corinth, those that are obedient to the Lord and his word and what they have received, Do they need convincing about the way that the Lord says things are? See, those that are spiritual do not. He's writing to those that are contrary, to those that are standing against him as an apostle in this word that he's given to them. And he tells them before, and he will tell them here in the future, about how carnal that they are. The next chapter is going to be with their dealing with them about their pride and not dealing with public sin in the church. Okay? So I think he's talking about that physical. He says, you're full. You're rich. You've reigned as kings without us since we've been gone from you. And he said, and I would that it so. I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you and enjoy the blessings there. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. Who is it, if the heart is right and the pursuit is right, who's at the forefront of the ministry that gets the bad word and the fault and the sneers and the bucking against the truth? You know, if a pastor's doing the ministry that ought to be doing amongst the church, if he's doing the ministry that he ought to be doing in the region and community, you know what he's doing? He's always telling sinners about their need of Christ. And you know what? Those that are saved enjoy that because they know that that's right. They know that that's how they've been saved. But those who are without Christ, they ball up to it. It's where the pastor might be going down one aisle of Walmart and they see you at that end and then they go over to the other aisle. And I'm not saying this for any kind of guilt or that you feel sorry for me or that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, look at how it is. If a member is caught up in public sin and the church has to deal with them, who is it that always did the deed? It's the pastor. The pastor put so-and-so out. When it's not understood that the pastor doesn't make any motions, the pastor doesn't do any voting, he does lead and he does give his recommendation as an example. And so there's things that are like that, that if a man of God, if a minister of the Lord is doing what he ought to do, he's on the front end of this going forth of the church, if you will, and they're the ones that take it on the chin. It's kind of akin to what the Lord said to the apostles when he was with them. They're going to hate you for my name's sake. Isn't that what he said? He said, they're going to scourge you for my name's sake. They're going to take your name and throw it out as bad, mean, ugly, and rotten for my name's sake. Hear that? It's not really a good recruitment line, really, when we're talking about recruitment. But that's what the Lord said, didn't he? He said that to the apostles. Now, the message, though, that the apostles carried is the message that sinners need. Amen? What greater message is there? Is the message of the need of sinners to be saved, have their sins forgiven. See, it's along the line, we'll see it here in the future in some messages coming up. It says in the Psalms, for my love they have hated me. A minister of the Lord needs to have compassion on those that are out of the way, like it says about the priests in Hebrews. They need to have compassion. They need to have compassion for those that oppose themselves. But the thing is the message, the front end message that you're a sinner and you need a Savior is not received by the flesh at all. I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last. Last from what standpoint? This reigning? this financial and physical gain and blessing? As it were appointed to death. Listen, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Now let me note, I thank the Lord for the way the church takes care of me and my family. There's not a complaint. I have no complaint whatsoever in that. And by no means am I alluding to anything that way. We're talking here about what the Lord is giving us about the way it is with those that are in the ministry. What those that would venture to go into the ministry, what they can expect. It's that way, but you know what? this is a sober understanding of the truth. And if it detracts one from pursuing the ministry or that, well, then let that be so. But understand, if the calling is from the Lord, the blessing and the answering of the call is greater than anything else than one can pursue in this life. But he said, we've been set. He said, for I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last. They were given first as the leadership in the church, the apostles, right? As the Lord Jesus Christ went on and ascended into the Father, the apostles were the first line of leadership there in that first church and continued to be for the times of their lives. He says, as it were, appointed to death. Who else was appointed to death? Our Savior. So it's not untoward. It's not out of the way. And they being there near to the Lord, for we are made a spectacle unto the world. We're made a spectacle to angels. We're made a spectacle to men. We are fools, verse 10, for Christ's sake. It's always talking about the Bible, always talking about the need of souls, always talking about Jesus, and always talking about glory and going to the other side, and doesn't really seem to care much about this life. Well, what's the most important? Always talking about, do you have Jesus as your Savior? Do you know your soul is secure in Him? Have you been forgiven of your sin? That's all that comes out of the mouth. We're fools for Christ's sake. But we are wise, but ye are wise in Christ. Those that are saved from the ministry of these brethren, they have the great blessing of being saved. They've been rescued. They understand the truth of God's word. They've been illuminated and enlightened. But the Lord taking the foolishness of the ministry and the supposed perceived foolishness of preaching to save them and bring them. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. He might be kind of saying that tongue-in-cheek, is that understand the ministers that have been called to bring the gospel to you and the Lord has used to call you and save you and establish a church here. Now in this prosperity, you've become wiser than the means that the Lord used to call you in the first place. And he's talking from the context of apostle. I'm not applying that to myself. But he said, now, are you wiser than the apostles of the Lord? Understand, the only reason the apostles have what they have is been given by the Lord. But there may be a challenge in that for them to consider. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak. You take a look at the apostle after he was saved and the ministry that he had and all the infirmity, all the affliction that he bore for the sake of the elect, he says. He said, even now, you speaking to me, you perceive me as being weak, but you're strong. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Look at the contrast there. Ye are honorable and we're despised. There's a temptation that we have even amongst us here in our church, that familiarity can breed contempt. And we've got to guard against that. All of us have to guard against that. The familiarity breeds contempt. You know, we need to love one another. We need to prefer one another before ourselves. We need to pray one for another. We need to meet the calling that we have of our Lord in our church for the long haul, not just for today, but for the long haul. And I know our Lord told us to take a day at a time. But we need to keep things in their right place. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted. He's speaking about the apostles. That's the subject. And have no certain dwelling place. He said, I don't have a place to live. And I don't have a retirement cottage. Because I've been called to the Lord for this ministry. For you. To be used up for the Lord, for your sake. See, understand that. How did the Lord Jesus Christ, how has He done this in our day, in this New Testament age? He gave Himself fully to give life to His people and to build His church. And then he left her there with leadership of the apostles, and he used them up for their sake, for the church's sake, and other churches that were established. And then he took them, and the calling of the Apostle Paul is in kind, and he took that man and used him up for the calling of others, that the church might grow, used up by the Lord for his own purpose. See, you can't find, I don't think you can find another religion that takes the subjects of that religion and takes them and uses them up for the sake of the others in the future like you can the Lord's church. That's the reason we're supposed to be living our lives for the Lord. We're supposed to be meeting the calling that He has called us with. What is it Jesus said? You hang on to your life, you will surely use it. If you give your life for my sake and for the gospel's, you will find it in Him. Doesn't that jive? Even in this present, we both hunger and thirst, naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands. He was a tent maker. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Because you know what? The Apostle Paul persecuted. And he heard Brother Stephen say, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. And you know what? The Lord took, I believe, those things and others, those pricks that the Lord told him it was hard for him to kick against, and he used that to break that man down and bring him to salvation. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world. Those Christians, those followers of Jesus of Nazareth. You know, that sect that follows after that man from Nazareth. They're like a plague. We can't get rid of them. We take them and we persecute them and beat up on them and put them in prison, and it goes even farther. That's the way the Lord works. We entreat. Being defamed, we entreat. Consider what you're doing. Understand that you're fighting against God. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. You know, when you think about the apostles, well, being saved, when we think about the apostles, we do so with a good thought, don't we? We're thankful for the apostles, for the Lord's work in calling the apostles and using them the way that He has. We're thankful for that. We praise the Lord for that. We're blessed to see that. But the world doesn't. The world doesn't. I write not these things, verse 14, to shame you. That's not the purpose. You know what? It may take our attitude and get us shook up a little bit that it get adjusted correctly. That's not bad. He said, I'm not writing this to shame you. But I want you to understand where you're coming from and how you're coming towards me and how that's inappropriate. That's not right. He said, I love you and I'm carrying the Word of God to you. I do have standing by the directive of God, the apostle speaking, to be able to speak to you about these things. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. A good parent's going to warn their children, aren't they? A good parent's going to warn their child. A good parent's going to instruct their child to go the right way. Why? Because they love them. They're beloved. He said, I'm not writing this to squash you, to run you down, to squeeze you, but to warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, and you've got many that are trying to tell you about the Lord and His Word and all that, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. He says, remember, I was there at the beginning. By the directive of God, of course, not by any power of his own, but the power of the Lord working in him. Wherefore, because of this, I beg you, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, I tell you often, don't follow a man. And that's the truth. We don't need to follow men. We don't. We don't need to follow men. But if one is living a right, good example, being obedient to the Word of God, you know, that's a good example to take up and follow the Lord in. And that, I believe that that's what he's saying. He says, I have an interest in you. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, verse 17, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. Some are being boastful in the church and puffed up and proud, the blessing of the Lord going to their head, thinking that I'm not going to come. I'm going to send Timothy to you, and he's going to remind you of the things that I taught you and the things I preached amongst you. But I will come to you shortly, verse 19, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. And the things that you stand in and the things that you pursue. Can you and I go to Thus Saith the Lord? Or the things that we stand in, the things that we pursue, the things we teach our children, is it what we want? Thus saith the Lord, or what we want? I'll tell you what, it needs to be Thus saith the Lord. He said, what's going to happen is if I come, those that are puffed up, I'm going to put them to the test. I'm going to put them to the test about how they stand against what God has said, or if they want to follow after the carnal way of this flesh in the world. He says here, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up. I really don't care what they're saying, but I want to know the power. I want to know about them being in touch with the Lord. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I tell you what, a spirit-filled teacher, a spirit-filled deacon, a spirit-filled preacher, a spirit-filled pastor. As the Lord's church, that's what we need. Because we need to hear from the Lord through His Spirit. See that? And be instruments in His hand. Our church over the years has experienced we've experienced some bad teaching at times, haven't we? Those of you that are here, been here for the time of my pastorate, you understand that we've had some times where we've had some bad teaching. It's happened. It's happened. From some teachers that we had in the church. Why? The Spirit of God was not there. The Spirit of God was not in them. They followed after the teachings and the writings of men rather than the Spirit of God. And our brethren here that teach now, and are the ladies that teach in our Sunday school classes for the children, or VBS and that. I think we've got spirit-filled teachers, and I'm thankful for that. Because that's what's needed. We need to hear from the Lord. He uses us. But we need to hear from the Lord, and we need to hear from the Lord, not in the writings of men, but from our Lord in His good word. He said, I'm going to put Him to the test. We're going to find out about the power. From a distance and writing a letter a long way away, and the rumor that I've heard, or the word that I've heard from those that are there in the church at Corinth, it's real easy for them to be boastful against the apostle, the Lord's man, from a distance. But when I come, how will it be then? For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Or in love? And in the spirit of power under control? What do you want? And may the Lord help us with that. Not cheap talk, but a spirit-filled life in that. So the ministers of the Lord, the example of the apostles, maybe this can help us to understand about more about the ministry and the Lord. You know, that's the way it is. A man that pursues the calling of the Lord is going to give himself and use himself up for the calling that he has. Not to set as a prince. Not to be one to be adored and worshipped. Honor should be gained and should be sought by being obedient to the Lord and being a good instructor and a teacher. But the minister of God is going to use himself up for the sake of the ministry. And it's that way. That's the example that we have. If any man here would ever be called of the Lord to be a preacher or a pastor. Understand, that's what the calling is to be used up for the sake of the Lord. And you know what? There's a great reward. The calling is enough. But there is a recompense of reward for us to be faithful to the Lord. May our Lord help us in that. Teachers, deacons, preachers, pastors, the ministers of our Lord. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we see the ministry of the apostles.